This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
It's Talk Back Thursday, and of course, this evening, I guess we're anticipating Teachers Day, and of course, the topic is about the teaching profession. Of course, I remember back in the day when teachers were put on the pedestal alongside doctors and engineers, and of course, to be a teacher was noble and a vocation that inspired the young.
Yeah, that's right. However, I suppose as the country prospered, more opportunities opened up, and, you know, in other industries as well, it appeared that those who couldn't became teachers.
That's right. And of course, now the teachers bear the brunt of the blame put for the quality of our school leavers. Now, is this fair? Are they overworked and underpaid? Have teachers become merely a last resort profession? And how can the mediocre produce the best? And of course, you know, this is you know, a real important discussion when we talk about the greater scope of the discussion with regards to our education system. You know, when it comes to new systems, a lot of teachers have had to adapt to a lot of these issues, and there's this complaint about them being more administrators more than being focused on the teaching aspect of their profession.
Yep, and that's coming through quite clearly. A man on the street seemed to understand that as well. I mean, we've received a tweet already from Aizuhas who says, nope, the system is the problem. There's no problem with teachers. And you know, that is what we're hearing from a lot of the teachers, especially with new systems being put in place, a lot of administrative work that needs to be done. You know, they're saying that they're doing the best that they can in a tough situation. But we've also heard on the flip side of the coin, you know, parents, for example, who have had to deal with, well, practically teachers from hell,
if
you think about
sure.
it. You know.
And of course, that main question, you know, why is teaching no longer a respected profession? We're asking you today that question. What is the problem with teachers? How do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? This talk back is brought to you by the Economic Transformation Program. Of course, you can call us at 03-77-109-000, text us at 016-201-9000, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Of course, we'd love to hear from teachers as well. This is an opportunity to get their feedback, I guess their direct perspective on how things are when it comes to things happening in the classrooms as well as in schools. So tell us what you think, 03-77-109-000. It's Top Back. We're going to head to some music, Ceilings by Local Natives, right here on BFM 89.9.
Tweet us at BFM Radio, text 016-201-9000 or talk to us on 03-771-9000. Talk Back on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Once again, the number is 03-77-109-000. We're asking you today, what's the problem with teachers? How do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? Of course, earlier we were speaking about some of the main challenges that modern-day teachers face in our current education system. And of course, it doesn't just lie with the teachers themselves. You know, when you talk about flip-flopping on policies over the past few years, it certainly doesn't give any comfort when it comes to trying to have an overarching approach to a more, I guess, receptive education system.
That is one. And something else that we've heard teachers say quite frequently is how their roles have now evolved. You know, modern day teachers are no longer the only source of knowledge and information
apart
from parents. I mean, you know, with the internet, who can fight with
right.
the internet? You know, and how parents don't play a big enough role. That's, you know, that's sort of what we've been hearing.
And also, I guess, you know, on that particular note, it's not just, I guess, providing information and knowledge. It's actually trying to focus on strategies to teach rather than actually providing that information and knowledge. And I think that's something that a lot of teachers have to adapt nowadays when it comes to this particular issue.
That's right. And where the government is concerned, the Economic Transformation Program, at least four strategies, as we know, have been used to elevate the teaching profession. They focus on enhancing the selection of teacher trainees, improving the teaching environment, restoring regard for the teachers in society, and promoting pride in teachers. Now, of course, you know, when you look at something into personality and you come up with those sort of umbrella statements, it's very, very difficult for people to understand how you're going to work it through, especially when we talk about the many different types of schools that we have.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, you're right. You're talking about vernacular schools, you're talking about international schools, public schools, private schools, and it's a huge problem concerning teachers as well as to what role they play in totality. You know, there are other stakeholders as well. You have parents, you have, you know, the principals, and you have, of course, the respective unions who have a very strong voice in this debate as well. Tell us what you think. What is the problem with teachers, and how do we attract the best and brightest to the teaching profession? 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000, and of course, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Right. You know, one of the things that comes across as well in conversation is how there is a perception that a lot of teachers are underpaid. And well, according to the numbers that we have, teachers' starting salary, you know, it comes at 2,500 to 2,600 ringgit.
That's right.
I mean, that seems to be a decent starting salary, certainly commensurate with all private companies. If, you know, if these individuals were to join the private sector, excuse me.
Of course, and of course, when you think about there has been actually a massive policy shift with regards to the hiring of teachers. Right now, I think it's only 5 A's and above, which accounts for the top 15%. The top 30%, for example, score 2 A's to 3 A's, and these are the folks who are applying for these teaching jobs, and there's only a very limited amount of spaces available.
Yeah, speaking of which, there's even a nationwide pilot program underway to rank and rate teachers according to performance. So these high-performing teachers will then be fast-tracked, while teachers who aren't performing are supposed to be provided targeted training. All of this is supposed to boost the system, certainly on behalf of the teachers.
Yeah, and of course, you know, on the other side of it, you know, how about parents? You know, where do they come into this configuration? Are parents engaging with school teachers as much as they can? Parents would be great, you know, for you guys to call in as well, of course, teachers to weigh in on this particular issue.
Yeah, I suppose for parents, you know, share with us your personal experiences in even the challenges that you've had dealing with teachers in your child's school. You know, students can call in as well. Tell us what you think. And for teachers, you know, give us a first-hand account of what you go through.
Now, folks, don't all call in at once because, I mean, clearly you guys are just, you know, calling in as quickly as you can. So, once again, the numbers are 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Caroline and I will be anxiously waiting your opinions on this matter. It's Talk Back Thursday right here on BFM 89.9.
03-771-09000 to Talk Back. BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Of course, this evening we're going to be talking about teachers and, of course, the question about why teaching is no longer a respected profession. How do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? Call us at 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to move on to our first call of the day. It's Kesh.
Hi, Kesh.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Tell us what you think.
Well, first of all, I'm quite disturbed that not many people are actually calling for such an important topic.
Oh, you and me both, Kesh. I mean, what's going on? We thought it's Teachers' Day tomorrow, and we're talking about teachers, talking about education.
Education is important to everyone.
Just give the hoot.
Exactly.
What's going on?
For the future of generations. First of all, happy Teachers' Day to all teachers.
Fantastic.
Present and past. I would like to say a special thank you to all my school teachers from Metis Boys School, primary, secondary, and Sapa High School.
Oh.
Without them, I would think I would not be where I am today. Anyways, back to the question at hand.
Dedication over. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the question at hand. I think the problem is teachers are not allowed to teach anymore. They have got to do a lot of other administrative things. I know a few teachers myself. They got to stay till 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, key in a lot of things in God knows which website.
Mm-hmm.
There are just too many administrative things.
Now, I'm wondering whether or not that is indeed the case. Because, you know, when you talk about the administrative work that that teachers have to put in these days, and there's no doubt there's plenty of it. We've heard from lots of teachers who've said the same thing. This is a system that's probably been in place maybe for the past 3-4 years. However, our education system and the quality of teaching, according to critics, has been going downhill for far longer.
Yeah, I think this is all collective effort. I think, first of all, the Ministry of Education has ever got their policies correct for a long, long time. They can't even decide if teaching of English or teaching of Bahasa in maths and science. They have not even decided what's the proper policy. They've not even decided how to move forward from the PMR examinations. Everybody's confused. So I think teachers are the least to be blamed at this point in time. A lot of other factors. Parents also interfere a lot in the teachers' work. They don't allow actually teachers to do what teachers do. And I would think that is a big problem.
Akash, let me ask you. I mean, if there was one point of criticism that you would give towards teachers and I guess improving their vocation, what would it be?
I don't blame teachers, but I think teachers are less dedicated today than what they were at my time.
And why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of things. One is the students probably put in less effort. Some students, not all. Then number two, parents tend to interfere a lot. And number three, like I said, the education policy itself and the administrative burden put on teachers.
Students putting in less effort. Now, I don't know whether that's a problem that's unique to 2014.
Yeah, I used to put in less effort for the longest time ever.
Yeah. Right. Well, anyways, they got a lot of distraction. The students got a lot of other things to do, and, they've got yoga classes, ballet, and, pianos, and God knows.
That's a good point.
Yeah. There are a lot of, you mentioned earlier about, parents interfering with teachers. I mean, we were speaking earlier before, but, there are some, kids who only get feedback when it comes to issues related to their, school subjects and education from their teachers. And there are some parents who are not interested enough. It seems to me that you're suggesting that there are some parents who are a bit overzealous when it comes to their involvement.
I think they do disturb. Getting involved and paying attention to what your students do in school, your children do in school is important, like what my father used to do. But they do come and they meet teachers as often as, when they have a teacher parents day and a report card day or when the teacher squad actually called my parents to school.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot keep interfering with what the teachers do on a daily basis, because their program is a structured program. It takes maybe 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, and you cannot be keep disturbing the teachers. If each parent were to do that every other day, that will surely hinder the teachers' work.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You can continue.
A very fine first caller for the evening.
That's right, calling us on 0377109000.
That's right, we're going to move on to our next caller. Richard is on the line. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm born in the 50s, so my time, when you were in primary school, you ask what career you want. Teachers always in the top three. Today, I think definitely that's, I don't think they're even in top 10,
And why do you think that's changed, in that period of time?
Pay structure is a major problem, I think.
Right.
I don't think teachers are well paid today.
Now, we've got the stats that, a teacher's starting pay is starting about 2,500, 2,600 when you're talking about the national public schools. What do you think about that figure?
Well, new graduates coming out to the commercial business side are also getting about the same pay.
Right.
But they will get much better career prospect to jump. For example, in marketing line, in a span of about 5 years, they can go up to 5,000-6,000. I don't think teachers can get to that level in 5-6 years.
But it can't just be, I guess, the financial incentives. I mean, perhaps when you were mentioning earlier in your time, a lot of folks wanted to become teachers. Why do you think that approach towards that profession has changed? It can't just be about the financial incentives.
At the time, 1,000 plus, you can survive with a family. Today, 2,000 plus, you cannot survive with a family.
Hmm.
As simple as that. And especially if you're a male teacher, it's even worse.
Why is it, if you're a male teacher, it's even worse?
Well, chances are, if you're a female, you're probably married, you have a husband, and it's 2% earning, so yours is extra income. If you're a male, and if your wife is not working, you're in deep trouble.
All right, thanks, Richard, for the call. Caroline, I know you're upset about that comment. I am very, very sure about that, and rightfully so. But we want to focus on the issue of education, and we're going to move on to our next caller. Thanks, Caroline. Mamu is on the line. Hi, Mamu.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
We're doing good, thank you. What do you think about the issue of teachers? How do we attract the best and the brightest to this particular profession?
Well, here's the thing. Others may have more to say about the system, as I was only a school teacher for 3 months, then I ran before the vortex swallowed me whole. So I'm just hoping to answer the question, is teaching still a respected profession? The short answer is not really. This is just what I saw, because I don't know where the mentality or attitude come from, but the perception people seem to have about teachers can be summed up into 7 words, I would say.
What other words?
When all else fails, be a teacher.
And this vortex that you mentioned, you know, can you describe that? I mean, is it the amount of work, or is it the lack of motivation, you know, when it comes to this new generation of teachers? What do you think it is?
I think it's things keep piling up. Maybe ambitious ministers seeing something that they approve of abroad and they want to bring that over here.
Mm-hmm.
Is the idea of teachers, I would say that it hasn't really evolved since the Cikgu Syari days, if you will, in Masa-Masa Manis.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
you show up, talk to a bunch of obedient students for a few hours and go home skipping, which is not true, really. Because being a teacher is a year-round job, as it is, without the whole, I forgot what it's called, this whole new assessment system.
SBA.
Because people try to balance work and personal life by eliminating their personal life altogether, and I don't think people are aware of that.
Now, Mamu, clearly you have you tried the teaching profession. Is there something that would motivate you to look back into it and, I guess, revisit this particular profession?
Well, for me, it's either you have it or you don't. I mean, I have all the patience in the world, but not the passion, and it's not something you can get into as a plan B or something like that.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Mamu.
Not something that you can get into as a plan B, even as a woman. You know what?
Oh, snap.
Yeah,
I think that was for you, Richard.
I'm just going to very quickly read out some messages that came in. Deldrella says, what if the system's improved but the execution sucks and incompetent educators actually make it worse? Siva Wolf says, a shout out to all the great educators of St. Paul's Institution in Seremban. Stick to one policy for long-term results.
Yeah, you know, earlier I think Mamu mentioned a very interesting quote, and it's very concerning when you talk about these new young teachers talking about that lack of motivation. You can have all the patience in the world, but if you lack the passion, that certainly should be. And, you know, there is that concern about, you know, there's a bulk of teachers, irrespective of what generation they're from, their heart is not into it. And of course, these young kids and in the future generations of Malaysians, they're being exposed to somebody who's not really interested in teaching them.
That's right. I mean, a lot of the time we talk about it and we bring it down to the few bad apples.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't know, you know, how many apples are actually rotten.
And of course, there are a lot of teachers who put, a great deal of effort into what they do.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, they feel that they're not being rewarded.
And they're tainted with the same brush.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's Talk Back Thursday. We're asking you, what is the problem with teachers and how do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? Of course, Talk Back is brought to you by the Economic Transformation Program. Call us at 0377109000. We're headed straight to the news right here on BFM 89.9.
Psst, you there? Open your mouth and talk! It's Talk Back time on BFM 89.9.
It is indeed Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. This Talk Back is brought to you by the Economic Transformation Program. And today we're asking, why is teaching no longer a respected profession? What is the problem that a lot of folks are facing with teachers? And how do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? We'd love to hear from teachers and parents to get your insight on this very important issue when it comes to our education system. 0377109000. You can text us at 0162019000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Didi is next on the line. Hi, Didi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Oh my God. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just feel that I really have to like give my two cents of thoughts towards the issue.
Please do.
Okay. So because basically I graduated. My degree was actually in the teaching English as a second language specialized for the secondary school students. So I would have the courage to say that 70% from my batch, we do not step into the teaching line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why is that?
Now, the issue here is that it's not that we do not have the passion to teach.
What is the issue?
We really love teaching. But the issue here is that it's the policy that is being implemented, actually. And that's what we got as well. The reflection that we got during our practicum session, during the 3 months of our practicum session, actually.
What policy do you object to?
Yeah, if you can elaborate on that a little bit for folks who may not be familiar.
Yes, I understand. So, because what happened here is that, you know, because, I mean, I'll try not to give a political comments over here, but what happened over here right now is that when the policy is being implemented, I would say that, you know, as an example, we do, like, we are changing from Malay to English, and then we change back from English to Malay, and then, you know, and it keeps on going on. However, teachers at school, they are not actually being given enough time to actually to understand fully on the system and to utilize whatever knowledge that they have mm-hmm. to put on the system, because the system keep on changing from time to time. And then another issue that we have right now here is that, as I have agreed before, that there are too many parents' intervention. So when there are too many parents' intervention and they come out another policy, somehow the policy in the education nowadays in Malaysia, sadly, we are putting too much teachers' accountability towards the student's success.
Right. Now, just on this point about the intervention by parents, I mean, clearly, you know, they have as much invested as anybody else when it comes to their children's education. I mean, what are some of the real problems here when we speak of parents' intervention being a bit too much and I guess the burden of it being on the teachers?
Yes, I understand. Because actually what happened here is that because when parents' intervention, it becomes too much, and when media plays some sort of role to show that, you know, there are parents complaining here and there. So when that happens, somehow the policy changes. It will come from the ministry. Nowadays, you know, now are not like those days. Nowadays, if you were to go to school, if you were to read the policy, teachers are not even allowed to, like, you know, like, nag to students. Teachers are not allowed to scold students. And then, you know, not doing homework is not even a disciplinary cases anymore.
Wow. So, that sounds good to me. No, but I get what you're pointing.
Yeah. But then at the same time, you know, what happened here is that the policy comes by, as an example, the PBS that they have put on stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say that the instruction that was given to us is very clear. Students must pass no matter what. So, you know, even if the student is not smart enough, in the Western education system, they have like the grading system. If you don't pass, you stay there. In Malaysia, you have to pass the students. So finally, teachers somehow start to cheat to get the students pass because they are forced to do things. So, you know, by day, actually, teachers are losing the interest to educate. They are no longer educating. They are no longer even teaching. They are like drilling, and sometimes it becomes unnecessary.
Absolutely. So it's a very tough system to work with. Didi, very quickly, do you think more individuals would have gone into the teaching profession, yourself included, had the new education blueprint not been put in place, and along with it, the policy, administrative work, the PBS and so on?
I don't think many will actually jump into the education. On the other hand, the thing that could actually make the education system or the brand of the quality that we're having even become worse is that we have students nowadays in taking of the teachers into, you know, the acquisition of teachers into government schools as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, whoever graduated from the correct teaching line in the education line, they will have to wait for their, you know, being called for interviews and so on and so forth to become the qualified teachers.
Right, the red tape that's involved.
Yes. However, you also have another program for those who are degrees from other fields. Let's say you have a degree in the field of physics. Then suddenly you can just join a one-year program called the Diploma Lepasan Pendidikan Ijazah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can straight away become a teacher without having to wait in line with those who are actually doing 4 years of education program. So you are actually choosing those who are not really interested in teaching to go into teaching.
But isn't it also worthwhile to have... Oh, I guess we lost Didi. I mean, the question I was going to ask was, isn't it also worthwhile to have those type of specialised teachers, albeit people are taking different routes, but is it no less acceptable when you're trying to get the best to the profession?
Yeah, well, I think you do have a point there, and I think we do need a varied bunch to be in there. But having said that, it seems as though we're changing the goalpost, right? There's no point in setting the standards higher if you're going to make it easier in other ways.
Sure, yeah. Sure. It's Talk Bank. Call us at 03-7710-9000. Muiz is on the line. Hi, Muiz.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. What do you think?
Basically, what I've heard from the previous callers, but before that, happy Teachers' Day to all of the teachers out there. So back to the question at hand. Basically, from what I've observed, everyone is blaming partly on the system or partly on the teachers, partly on the students, and also partly on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have to remember that a system is a component of various parts. Therefore, the students are also part of the system, and so are the parents, and so are the teachers, and so are the policymakers.
Sure.
So, from what I see, it's a bit of weaknesses here and there. For example, yes, we have policymakers who are having flip-flop decisions. This affects the passion of the teachers, all right? So the teachers who start out, you know, gung-ho and full of passion on their first day of school, this passion slowly fades away because of all of the policies that may or may not promote better teaching.
Yeah. So many chinks right? along the chain until the chain is ineffective.
Exactly. And right? then it comes to the students and the parents.
Right.
Right? So, and then we have the parents who don't really cooperate with the teachers, and we have teachers who don't really cooperate with the parents. Right?
Right.
So, I one personal experience, I have two girls. They are in standard one right now. Mm-hmm. So, they're 7 years old. So, we always tell our kids, right, you must listen to the teacher in school. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, even if you agree or you disagree with the teacher, you kind of agree to disagree.
Right.
All right? So, what happened was, one day, I was assisting my kids to do their homework. All right, so we completed the homework, and then the next day they went to school, etc., etc. And then apparently our guidance was not as to what the teacher wanted. Okay, so the teacher actually told our kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually told our kids, what your parents are teaching is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, all right? However, she also added that don't listen to your mommy and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're doing.
And how do you feel about this, knowing that, of course, the teachers have a different opinion as to how you're teaching your kids?
Having different opinions is fine, all right? Because I may approach the problem with a different perspective, and then the teacher may want something else out of the student.
Sure. Yeah.
But it would suffice to say, this is how the teacher wants it. You know, you don't have to teach the pupils to go against the parents.
Yes.
Because here in our home, we are teaching our kids to put teachers on a pedestal.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think everyone has a little part to play.
And it boils down to respect, isn't it? I mean, both ways. Being able to agree, to disagree, and all of that. And like you said, it goes both ways.
Thank you very much for that call, Muiz. It's Talk Back Thursday. Call us at 0377109000. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors right here on BFM 89.9.
0377109000 to Talk Back.
Hello?
BFM 89.9.
That's the number. You're with Caroline and Ezra. And of course, we're asking you, what do we make of the teaching profession and why is it no longer respected as it was once before? We're going to head straight to the phone lines. Amril is on the line. Hi, Amril.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Tell us what you think.
Okay, there's only, I can only think of this. The role of teachers as the gatekeepers to knowledge nowadays has diminished over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, like, let's say in the 60s, in the 50s, the 60s, there's only one person that you can go to get to learn new things, to ask about new information, anything, and those are the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, people have, like, kids nowadays, they have the internet, they have their books, they have their libraries. So, they've equipped the role of the teachers. They can just simply, like replace the role of teachers that previously was unique only to teachers with other methods.
But are we acknowledging that it is through no fault of their own then? I mean, we couldn't stop technology.
Yes, that's true. And even so, that the problem that Malaysia is having right now, like the respect accorded to teachers are not only unique to this country. It's a problem being faced by teachers all over the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, financial, you can raise the pay and everything, but okay, let's say that situation like 40 years or 50 years ago, teachers are not only respected, they are revered. They are the epitome of knowledgeability. If you see yourself as an educated person, you imagine yourself as a teacher. That's how people look at teachers back then. But nowadays, people have PhDs, MBAs. What degrees and whatever, and you cannot say that you somehow subconsciously you don't look down to teachers, don't you?
Right. Well, thank you very much for that comment. Certainly raise some pertinent questions about, I guess, whether teachers have adapted with the times in terms of what the role is for a modern day teacher, not necessarily as just a person who provides information and knowledge, because access to the World Wide Web has changed the game essentially.
Absolutely. Some messages that have come in,
sure,
from listeners, says no one wants to be a teacher because there's no good role model, and I think there's probably something in that. I don't know whether there are no good role models, perhaps.
I'm sure there are.
Not fair to say. But certainly more prominence should be placed on these role models. We live in a society where students or young kids nowadays, and that's not unique to these times. You look up to your idols and people who are on television and celebrities,
sure,
and so on. But do we have that kind of caliber when it comes to teachers? At least certainly with that kind of prominence.
Absolutely. Sometimes the teacher that affects or has the greatest impact on you growing up is not necessarily the teacher that gave you an A, but the person who took the time to address why is it that you got a D or a C and sort of made that improvement. And I think that's perhaps those moments are lacking in a lot of our classrooms, but maybe that's not the case. You should tell us what you think. What's happening in the classrooms right now? 03-7710-9000. We're going to head to our next caller. Victor's on the line.
Hi, Victor.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. What say you?
I think the teachers have been unfairly blamed.
Hmm.
They have been given insufficient tool to do their job.
Right.
Okay.
By insufficient tool, I mean the teaching medium, the language. We are all talking about all these drop in education standards.
Mm-hmm.
Where does all this drop happening? Is it in a private school, international school, or even in Chinese independent school? No. So I think there is a single event that coincide with the drop in our educational standards.
And for you, that single event is the switch from Malay to English or English to Malay? Which one is it, Victor?
I think you read my mind, you can tell. So, I put it this way. Some languages, because it has too many syllables, in order to say one word, you have to use too many sounds that is not suitable to be used as a teaching medium.
We're getting quite technical here on the linguistics front, Victor, but okay, go ahead.
Okay. That is my point. That's all.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Victor. I think there is that argument about the declining standard of English amongst those in the teaching profession. Certainly, that's an issue that we've discussed right here on TalkBack. You have a situation where higher pay and other perks are offered by the private and commercial sector, and it's meant that the teaching profession has been able to attract fewer people with a higher level of competence in English to train as teachers. What say you? Tell us at 03-7710-9000. Vijay's on the line. Hi, Vijay.
Hello, hi. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Yeah, I used to go by the premise that you can't teach anything to a student that if they are not willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to be an ex-lecturer before.
Right.
And this was quite appalling because when you start teaching them in the class, you will see that something is really lacking in these students. And you can't help but to find out that the root cause has been that 6 or 10 years of the schooling system that they have been going to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that I would like to stress upon is, I think you can't use the old tools to teach these kids right now. Whatever I went through about 10, 15 years ago, the students are different. I think there has to be a total radical innovation in how, in terms of you're going to approach these students.
Yes, but
now,
what you were alluding to sounded more like a lack of respect rather than confusion with tools.
In the conventional system, it is easy to them to discipline the kids if they don't get to the to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
These days, kids demand more respect. And I think this is the same phenomenon like what the other caller has been saying, is the phenomenon all over the world. So the whole approach to the education, I think, has to be totally radically changed. And I think our system does not allow for that yet in terms of in our teaching tools and
perhaps
teachers.
Perhaps you can articulate very quickly for us how you would like to see that change take place.
And Vijay, I guess when you speak about old tools and new tools, the only thing that I can think about perhaps is in reference to rote learning versus critical thinking skills that our students need to be exposed to.
And technology.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, technology is one, mm-hmm. but in more, it's more in how we approach these things to the students. It's like we need to have more workshop kind of a conduct more kind of, more workshop kind of a scenario. We need to totally eradicate. It is not going to be a classroom sitting down setting anymore. It has to be more on a teamwork basis. It has to be coming up with a problem and asking them to solve the problem rather than going through years and years of past year papers trying to modulate the best answers.
The thing is, Vijay, I do believe right. that it is something that has been acknowledged, and the new education blueprint
tries to address that.
That's
to
right.
a certain degree, yeah.
I think, but the whole thing is, it's always nice to have it in the papers, but enforcing that is going to be a bit of a challenge. I totally agree that from a lecturer point of view, from mm-hmm. a teacher's point of view, mm-hmm. but it has to head somewhere. And I think this is the most critical point that the country is facing right now. The approach to the education for the kids, these kids, I mean, these Form 4, Form 5, even from Form 1 itself, I think has to be changed. That's it, I guess, guys.
Thank you very much, Vijay. We're going to move on very quickly to our next caller before the news. Alvin is on the line. Hi,
hey,
Alvin.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Tell us what you think.
Okay, if you ask me, it's all about mass production.
Mm. Mass production of teachers.
That's right. It's extremely easy, if I may put it in this way. It sounds a little bit extreme, but I would say getting into Teachers Training College or into the teaching line for the education side mm-hmm. is, in my opinion, one of the easiest courses to get into. That's if you're talking about government universities or institutions run by the government. So it's no longer a challenging area to get into. It's, put it this way.
Now, Alvin, if I can interrupt you, I mean, just, you know, when we're talking about, the easy entry point when it comes to becoming a teacher, this massive policy shift with regards to the hiring of teachers, only 5 A's and above, it accounts for the top 15%, the top 30% score 2 A's to 3 A's. What is your concern about these type of, quality
Indicates
candidates, entering the profession?
That would be, if you ask me, during the hiring stage, but when it comes to actually getting the students into these institutions, you would realize that a lot of them have just credits in India and the lower credits in certain their main core subjects. So when you're dealing with a group of people that will be shaping or influencing the future of our society, you would expect the process to be a lot more stringent. When let's say if you go into medicine, the requirements to get into medical school is extremely high.
Right.
But when you compare that to the people that will be shaping society, it's a lot lower.
All right. So as Ezra mentioned a little earlier, this policy shift includes 5 A's and above. Perhaps you can state for us categorically exactly what kind of qualifications you think are required to become a teacher.
If you ask me, they should at least be on par with doctors.
Right, so anything less is not substantial for you?
If you ask me honestly, no.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. Of course, we were speaking earlier before about, currently there's a nationwide pilot program underway to rank and rate teachers according to performance. And I guess the ongoing part about what our last caller was mentioning is not just about the hiring of teachers, but to ensure that the teachers currently in the system, when they perform, that they actually have the opportunity, these high-performing teachers will be fast-tracked, and teachers who aren't performing will actually be provided very specific targeted training to improve their existing skills.
All right, some messages in from BFM listeners. One says absolutely nothing wrong with the teaching profession. Given the rotten system that they have to work in, we should honour them all the more. Every profession has bad apples. Achat says, can we blame the national curriculum for the quality of our education? Nuzari says, I once met a Form 5 science teacher who didn't know what gas is used in carbonated drinks. Thank you very much for those.
Very specific memory on that one. It's Talk Back, we're asking you, what is the problem with teachers? How do we attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession? The numbers are 0377109000. You can text us at 0162019000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're headed straight to the news, but first, a quick word from our sponsors. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation. Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zine.
And I'm Caroline O.
It is indeed Talk Back Thursday, and of course this Talk Back is brought to you by the Economic Transformation Programme. Call us at 0377109000, text us at 0162019000, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We've been speaking about the teaching profession in the context of our education system and what can be done to improve the situation.
On top of what the government is already doing.
That's right, and of course, you know, I think that's what we're trying to get the discussion towards. I mean, there are existing initiatives already in place. We've seen a lot of exposure on the Malaysian Education Blueprint. What do people think about that? Tell us. And the number once again is 0377109000. James Wong Karamjit and Madi have been holding on to the lines, but Azman is the head of that queue. Hi, Azman.
Hi, Ezra.
Hi,
good evening.
There.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, I don't have the data, so I don't have the statistics, but my opinion is based on experience and observation.
Sure.
Yeah.
From my observation, all the teachers whom I consider excellent, you know, Mr. Goh, Mr. Tan, Puan Ayula, Cik Shahbuddin, they all share this common trait. They are all at least 40 to 45 years old.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say is, these teachers, not only that they know the subject in and out, they know how the teenage mind works, they know how the young mind works. So they are very experienced, hence translates them into being good, excellent teachers. Now, if you notice, every time we have a new education minister, they'll always introduce something new in the policy, like the latest of this school-based assessment, which is essentially KSSR, and before that, we have something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with ever-changing policy, you know, teachers are not allowed to become mature with whatever style that they have.
Now, Azman, I'm just going to, get in on those two points. I mean, the first point you made was about, you know, how some of these teachers within that bracket of being above 40 years old, they have a bit more experience. Yet it seems to suggest that, you know, some of these younger teachers haven't been given the opportunity to adapt to some of these new systems based on the ever-changing policies. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, correct. So I think the policymakers, you know, what they should really do is really make up their mind and stick with one policy for at least like...
I think that therein lies the problem, because it is a long-term plan. I mean, we talk about these blueprints, they're at least 10 years.
Yeah.
You're 10 years in the making. And, you know, even when we talk about revolving door of systems and policies, it does require 10 years for it to actually kick in and mature. And what do you do if you've made your way down the end of the 10 years and you find that it's not working?
Well, I mean, that is the characteristic that we have to take. Either we continue with ever-changing policy that will take forever for us to become, that takes us forever to adapt into, or not just stick with one, let the system becomes mature, mm-hmm. and see what the outcome of that mature system.
All right. Thank you very much, Azman. I guess essentially stick to one manager. I mean, stick to one policy. I mean, I keep thinking about football.
Football is where you are at.
Yes, we're going to move on to our next caller. Karamjit is on the line. Hi Karamjit. Karamjit.
Yes, hi. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I've been listening to the callers talk about all the reasons why the standard of education has gone down. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really know why as well. I don't have the answers. All I can basically... I can speak from experience, I guess, from the teachers that I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the number one problem actually these days is that our teachers these days do not have the dedication that the teachers of my generation enjoyed, or rather I enjoyed from the teachers of my generation.
What kind of dedication do you expect from the teachers of today that you're not seeing, that you used to receive? And is it the same playing field, do you think?
Right, exactly. See, the thing that I used to enjoy as a student, because I had teachers who genuinely wanted to teach, who genuinely wanted you to learn, and they were worried that when basically you did not respond to a you used to teach, or other they are teaching medium, they basically adjust and change. You know, they always want to know why you're not picking the things up, for example.
Yeah, but with the added responsibility, so we're hearing from, different teachers saying that the administrative work that they have to cope with, is it's quite a load. It's a lot to deal with. So it's a matter of prioritizing.
Yeah, but hasn't the administrative work been there all the while? I mean, I find it strange that administrative work has increased over the last 20 years. I believe that the same administrative work that exists today would have existed 20 years ago.
So, Karamjit, is it the case that, you know, teachers, you know, part of the package, you know, when it comes to the teaching profession is not just teaching but the administrative work, and teachers have to deal with it? Is that your sentiment?
Yeah, exactly. I strongly believe that is part of the package. But the thing is, the one thing that a teacher must have is that willingness to want to teach, to want to impart knowledge, to dedicate him or herself to their profession,
and above and beyond all the qualifications.
Well, I'm afraid so. You know, and it's unfortunate that the teachers these days are not paid according to that. Aspire to do that value, you know, but that's the way life is today, I guess.
All right, thank you very much. Yep. You know, you speak about the teaching profession. You know, there's a lot of focus on the negative, I guess, sentiments that have been going around, and clearly because a lot of people feel so passionately about the issue of education. Yet there are some teachers out there who, you know, just get on and deal with it. However much administrative work they have, however many students they have, they, you know, pursue. But these are some of the stories that don't get highlighted in many instances, and a lot of them, because their skills are so, highly...
How are we going to go with rare?
Well, not that, because I think, you know, there are a lot of teachers who are doing well, and sometimes they are needed in other parts of the country where it's not necessarily, you know, the most cosmopolitan area. So they're going to go to other places, and sometimes you're trying to figure out what are some of the incentives when it comes to how good you are at your profession. You don't want to be sent out to far, far away places when you are comfortable in your job. So, you know, is it that very, very strange tension that exists there on that front?
Right.
Tell us what you think. 03-771-09000. Muddy is on the line. Hi, Muddy.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for waiting. What do you think?
Okay, I would look at it in a different way, in a slightly different way, I would say. The teaching profession is nothing different from any other profession.
All right.
Okay. All the other professions too have the good ones, the bad ones, the so-so, and so on. But teaching profession is scrutinized more because our children are there. We have a very close interface with them. We know what they are doing. We know, you know, what the children come back and tell us. That's why we think that there's a lot of problem. But look at the number of teachers we have. Of course, a big employer. The teaching profession is a big employer. You have the good ones and the bad ones. But having said that, just like in all other professions too, there are some inherent problems there, you know. The input we get, students, different types, different culture, different family, different region, they come in. And they are supposed to now make different types of input coming in as students, or straight A's at the end, the other end. So we do have differences. That's one problem. The other problem that I look at is actually basically the bureaucratic part of it.
The bureaucratic part of it? Is that what you said?
Yes, yeah. I've been involved with my children's PIBG for many years, and I find that teachers, they go to a teacher's training, they have the skills, they have the methodology and all that, but when they come to school, they can't implement it. They have their KPIs, which is very rigid, and everybody is looking at how many hills they're going to score for the school. That's one problem. So that's the bureaucracy part of it. The other part of it, who is the leader in the school? Okay? The choice. Some schools, or most schools, do get good principals, headmasters. But there are schools where their headmasters or headmistresses are not on merit. Let's face it. It is the senior supervisors who are doing all the company's work there.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for all those points.
Yeah, and you know, he raises a good point in that, you know, are we holding teachers to an unreasonable standard?
Sure.
I mean, it certainly sounds like it. They're expected to be the be-all, end-all of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Teachers, if you're listening out there, do call us and tell us what you think about this issue. 03-771-09000. It's Talk Back Thursday. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors right here on BFM 89.9.
Get in touch right now. Call 03-771-09000. Text 01620-19000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Talkback on BFM 89.9.
It is Top Back, and you're with Caroline and Ezra. And this evening, we've been speaking about the teaching profession and how do we attract the best and the brightest to said profession. We're going to head to our next caller. Is May on the line?
Hi, May.
No. That's right.
May, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, May.
Yeah, just hold on.
All right. Okay, we seem to have lost May.
Yeah.
May? All right, we've lost her. It's okay. We'll move on to the next call.
We're going to move on to our next caller. Angus is on the line. Hi, Angus.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Angus. What do you think?
Just a very quick one. I think we should cut some slack to the new teachers now.
All right.
Basically, because the new parents right now are much higher educated than the parents before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that we should just cut some slack to the current teachers. And
but don't you think then the teaching profession should grow with them, with that?
It should. And I actually really think that the current teaching methods and from the education ministry needs to be reviewed instead, actually.
All right, and of course, you know, this whole issue about reviewing the education system, there have been some initiatives, you know, such as the Malaysian Education Blueprint. We've been revisiting some of these systems with regards to the PBS. I mean, are some of these initiatives, you know, encouraging to you when it comes to improving the overall situation?
Not that we know currently. If we see every time there is a new minister, the new minister will never want to follow the old minister's blueprints, and they always want to have their own new blueprint or their own milestone. That's how I feel.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, I suppose you can't deny that, but you can't also deny the growing disenchantment with every blueprint that has come out. So as an education minister, wouldn't you try to make it better?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, trying to improve on something is quite different from, I guess, revamping it completely. And I think that's been, you know, part of the frustration.
Absolutely.
You know, when it comes to the discourse, because it seems that, you know, while everybody has their stake in it, you know, we're talking about parents and teachers and students.
And the future of the country.
And the future of the country, yes. You know, it's one of those situations that everybody is continuously discussing. We're going to move on to our next caller. Ikmal is on the line. Hi, Ikmal.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Tell us what you think.
Very quickly, I think we should entice people from the working professional to be teachers rather than rely on teachers that are being churned out from teacher training colleges. It's just thinking out of the box.
And do you think there's enough of an incentive for them to do so?
Well, that has to be worked out. The remuneration package should be favourable or, you know, be fair to entice working professionals, because I think they would have a different approach. You're talking about people who have been working for 5, 10, maybe 15 years if they're interested. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who would want a career change. I know a lot of my friends, my colleagues who have degrees in engineering who end up doing businesses, online businesses, doing all sorts of things, not necessarily quite relevant to what they studied. And we've heard a lot of callers, teachers calling that, saying that they lose interest after 4 years of training at teachers' colleges. So I think, you know, we should think out of the box.
All right.
There's so many aspects in this problem, the system itself, the syllabus, and the teaching manpower is one of the problems, and I think we should address that because the subject is... How do you attract the best brain? And I believe not all the teachers, but probably the system itself is a single track mindset.
Mm-hmm.
System. So if we get people from the working professional, it's a fresh outlook, fresh take on teaching.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, that's certainly what everybody's looking for, you know, ideas, you know, out of the box thinking when it comes to trying to figure out strategies to address this particular situation. You know, we've mentioned this before, you know, with our education budget being almost 4% of GDP. Of course, you know, surely some of that money should be used to attract talent. You know, that's just one idea that one of our callers have had. We'll move on to our next caller. May has managed to call back. Hi, May.
Okay, since there's not much time, I just want to stress, a friend of mine, years ago, set up a kindergarten, and after she had gone overseas for a Montessori course,
okay.
And that, she had the passion, and because of that, she loves the singing, the teaching, and the children love her. The same thing I'm saying, the most important, the government has to get the passion, on these people and set the fire going. And at the same time, improve the resource center. That's the main thing. Spend loads and loads of money because children are all now different. They want to see things. Animation. No more microfish, microfilms. But they must have the latest techniques, maybe good computers. Improve the resource room, set up the aircon, improve and make it beautiful to attract all the children and teach us that they have the passion to come and teach.
Oh, bless you. That's passion. I can hear it in her voice.
Thank you very much for that call, May. I mean, what she's looking at is like, you know, give them the resources, you know, they need, switch off the aircon, you know, give them all the necessary things. But I think, you know, what she was trying to identify was, you know, trying to look for that passion, you know, and, you know, we've used that word repeatedly. It's almost a cliche, but...
She used the word repeatedly and you could just hear it.
You could hear it. And of course, she was giving that example from her friend who clearly has had some success because her heart is really into the particular profession, and perhaps we need more of that in our education system. We're going to move on to our next caller. Razif is on the line. Hi, Razif.
So basically about this issue, I feel that we all need to understand exactly what happened before in the past. So before KBSR was launched, I think, and then one of their main goals was actually to equip everyone with literacy, you know, to make sure that everyone can read and all that. But I think as far as Malaysia has developed, that is no longer necessary. So I think they have accomplished the goal, and a lot of us are looking for ways to apply our knowledge. And I think it calls for a new blueprint, which I think what the government is currently doing.
Right.
And it's just perfect, the timing of, you know, revealing this blueprint. So I think... the main issue is that we need more stimulation in the way we learn, and, you know, not just by memorizing. So I think,
Okay.
Thank you very much, Razif. Certainly he had a point there with regards to, I guess, revisiting some of the goals that we've had in the past. And, you know, when it comes to the literacy rate, that's something that's been addressed. But moving on to that, you know, what is the literacy rate, you know, when it comes to absorbing content and, of course, applying critical thinking skills? And, you know, this is something that it's not just something that we want to impart on the kids, but for the teachers themselves. There's a generation of teachers that are familiar with it. There's another generation of teachers that perhaps need to relearn some of these methods and techniques, because that is what is required in the profession today of the modern day teacher.
And from what we're hearing, it's what's lacking.
Absolutely. We'll move on to our next caller. Rebecca is on the line. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I'm so glad I managed to call in. Just want to let you guys know tomorrow is actually a teacher's day.
Yep. That's right. That's why we're doing this program.
I realize that nowadays my kid is actually in the kindergarten, so I can only speak for experience now. Notice that headmistress nowadays in kindergarten, they're pretty much probably because of the cost of living, everything is so high and parents doesn't want to really spend on kindergarten and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they'll just send their kids to any kindergarten, which is convenient and the price that they can pay. But at the end of the day, the kids end up spending so much time with the teachers, and the teachers are underpaid, and the headmistress are also stressing to meet the margins of running a business, business. Yeah, people tend to forget about, like what May say about passion. I think teachers, they, perhaps what the parents can do, they should realize that teachers are not perfect, but they are spending a huge amount of time with the kids. And one thing which is important, I guess, that we can motivate teachers are actually to make them feel that they are being appreciated for whatever that they can contribute to the society now. That's very important, yeah.
Sure, thank you. That's a very fair point. Thanks, Rebecca. Tell us what you think. Do you agree, you know, with that perspective? 0377109000. Text us at 0162019000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're just looking through our Twitter timeline. There's a lot of shout-outs in regards to Happy Teachers Day. That's, of course, tomorrow. And a lot of folks are listing the teachers that they actually, you know, were very, very fond of from yesteryear.
Yep, that's right. And we're going to move over to the phones.
Addie is on the line. Hi, Addie.
Hi.
I would like to highlight a few points here. Number one, when I was in high school, I could clearly see two differences between my tuition teacher, who has a lot of experience, and he was teaching since 70s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a teacher from my school who was teaching the same subject as he was doing.
Right.
My teacher at school, what she basically did was just read the textbook and ask us to write the notes. That's all she did. But I scored an A in geography just because of my tuition teacher. And what he does is he enters the class without even a book in his hand. And he can just explain whatever question you ask. And he just goes on with his lesson without looking at the book or so.
And I guess that's down to the experience that your tuition teacher had. But what, I guess, what do you think is required to, I guess, improve the standard of teachers nowadays?
I think teachers need to master the subject in and out, which is lacking in teachers nowadays.
Because
a lot of teachers, even though they don't have like knowledge in geography or any particular subject, they're just forced to teach that subject just because there's no resources to teach that subject.
All right. Thank you very much for that call, Addy. We're going to head to our final caller of the day. Satish is on the line. Hi, Satish.
Hey, guys. Good evening.
Good evening.
And happy Teachers' Day to all teachers hearing out there.
And did you have a lot of teachers that you were very fond of growing up?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. From athletics to my maths teacher, who used to put me at the back because I used to play a lot. But I want to say thank you to her, because if it was not for her ways, I would not have bucked up and, gotten my A's in my admats and my all the mathematics classes that I took.
Now, Satish, but we're wrapping up the conversation today. Yeah. You know, what are some of, some of the key points that you want to sort of express on this topic?
Yeah, I would like to firstly express the fact that we should empower the teachers today to make a decision on how the education system should run. I think they've all been left out. And they've just been given spoon-fed to do or follow a program.
Right.
Coming back to one of the callers has said that we have educated parents these days. I believe with an educated parents, we have teachers who are also very educated who have come up through the system. But I don't think we are giving them the opportunity to be involved in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. I think that also has a tie into the passion. I think they're just being curtailed because they're not being empowered.
Right.
Yeah. So if you say that we have educated parents, I think we also have very much so educated teachers amongst us.
And Satish, final point for the day before we head to the news?
But good luck. I think we need lots of help, and I think the government needs to take heed on this and let the teachers also get involved so that they can show their passion and how can they drive for a better education.
Thank you very much, Satish. And the main thing there, I guess, empowering teachers, and there is that concern about giving more autonomy to teachers when it comes to teaching. It seems that for a lot of them, their hands are tied to that.
We've been asking you today whether or not teaching is still a respected profession. Amira tweeted in to say, "Of course, it's one of the most challenging things to do. Besides teaching, they also guide us." Jana says, "Shout out to all dedicated Malaysian teachers out there. Happy Teachers Day. That's for tomorrow. Keep calm and teach on."
Very nice. This Talk Back has been brought to you by the Economic Transformation Program. Thank you to every caller, and of course all of the folks who've sent in text messages and tweets. There were a whole bunch of them. We couldn't get to everyone, but please keep tuning in to Talk Back Thursday. We're headed straight to the news. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.